Anthropology. Anthropology. What is anthropology?
Study
of man.
That's right.
So you are an anthropologist. You are somebody who's dedicated to studying man. Now, when we study man in relationship to theology, so we're putting anthropology under the umbrella of theology, what book are we going to study? Yeah, but the Bible. And then you're right, more particularly Genesis. We're definitely going to dig in there. But let's start today with Isaiah. Everyone turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Right in the middle of your Bible, find that giant prophetic book. How many chapters, by the way?
66.
66, right, 66 chapters. And there's an amazing break in those chapters. The first 39 deal with Old Covenant stuff, and the second group deal with New Covenant stuff. So let's see, Isaiah 43, verse 7. Matt, do you have it?
Yes, sir.
Nice and loud.
Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Now I have formed him. Yea, I have made him.
So even everyone that is called by my name, for who has created them?
I.
Who's the I?
God.
God, and why are they created?
To glorify him.
So, two critical truths, absolute fundamental truths to anthropology as defined by the Bible in this single verse is, number one, God made you. Number two, what?
You're made for his glory.
So write that down in the chapter, in the book right now, because I don't think he does a good job in getting that message across. And he needs to get it across loud and clear. So open your textbook. Matt, take a note down so that when you get home with your textbook, you can do it.
Yes, sir.
Truth number one, fundamental truth is what, Chantel?
God made us.
Yeah, God made us. God made all humans. All humans. So write that down. Fundamental truth number two, when we're studying anthropology from the Word of God, is
God made you for His glory.
God made you for His glory. Now, in the world that you're living in, and the world that you're going to go to college, when you go to UNC Pembroke, and when you go to East Carolina, and when you go to all those liberal, secular, progressive schools, they are going to seek to destroy those two premises. What will they in turn teach?
Evolution.
You are a product of a cosmic accident. You are a product of a cosmic accident. There is no intelligent designer. There was an explosion that created something, and from that something came you over trillions of years. That's the basic premise of evolution. An accident occurred, and something came out of that, and somehow there became something, which became a little bit more of something, and then somehow you showed up. That's number one. How also do they address truth number two that we wrote down? Exactly, Heather, that you live for yourself. You don't live for God. You live for your own pleasure. You do what you like. You seek your own well-being. You exist for yourself. You only have a short life to live, and so you get all you can out of that short life. Because after that, you're going to
die.
And is there anything beyond that? No. There's nothing beyond that. Because essentially, all you are is a container, Matt, of chemicals. A container of chemicals. A bag of chemicals. Chemicals bound up in chemicals bound up in more chemicals, and we call that a human being. But the Bible says exactly the opposite. We could not be further apart from what secular progressives teach and what we teach. Take your Bible, turn back to Genesis 1. Now, please understand, sophomores, that there is no section of the Bible, write this down in your book, no section of the Bible is more challenged than the first 11 chapters in Genesis. No section of the Bible is more challenged than the first 11 chapters of Genesis. No section of the Bible is more challenged than the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Who is introduced in Genesis chapter 12?
Abraham,
that's right. Abraham is introduced in Genesis chapter 12. And no one denies the historicity of Abraham. What do I mean by the historicity? I'm using that word, historicity. What do I mean by that? Right, the legitimacy of his existence. Secular progressives do not deny the historicity of Jesus. They do not deny the historicity of Paul. They do not deny the historicity of men of the Bible. Except for Adam. They do not believe that there was ever really an Adam. They believe that Adam is a fictitious individual invented by primitive man to have an origin of life. We need a story. And so that's what Adam is. We, on the other hand, argue that Adam is a legitimate individual. A legitimate individual created by God. Okay? And that's the divide. That's the central divide. Was Adam a real person or was Adam a fictitious individual created by primitive man in order to have a story about where did we come from? Genesis chapter number 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The darkness was upon the face of the earth. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God, through a series of days, created lots of stuff until finally, on day number 6, he gets to the culmination of his creation. And that culmination is who?
Man.
Is man. Look at verse 26. And Bethany, if you would read verse 26 and everyone else, underline it in your Bible. Verse 26, nice and loud.
And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth."
And read 27 as well, please. And underline 27, everyone.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
All right, now these verses, you might not look at them and think, okay, big deal. Those actual verses are packed full. Absolutely packed full of very, very important truths. We've already identified two of those very important truths. Truth number one, that God made man. Truth number two, that man lives for God's glory, not his own glory. But now I want to draw your attention to the very beginning of verse 26. And I want you to know that God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now notice those two very important things. You were made by God in God's
image.
Now, within this room, we have some ethnic divisions within this room. We have some differences in this room, right? Okay, we have African Americans, we have Caucasians, we have a Chinese individual here, we have Korean, is that right, Diane? Korean? Vietnamese?
Hispanic,
okay. Did I miss anyone? Is there anyone else that I missed? So we've got a lot of diversity in this room. We have a lot of diversity. Based on this verse right here, can any single ethnicity claim that they are made more or less in God's image?
No.
Based on this verse, can any ethnicity claim that they are made more or less in God's image?
No.
This single verse creates equality across the board for all human beings. All human beings. Equality. Let me go to the dry erase board. Because we believe that God created Adam in the image of God, and that every single human being on the planet is a direct descendant of Adam, we will argue that regardless of whether you are Korean, Chinese, African American, Vietnamese, Hispanic, Caucasian, Irish, what it doesn't matter, every single strand of race and ethnicity traces its origin back to a single individual who was made in the image of God. Therefore, no single ethnicity can argue that they are more like God than another ethnicity can. Because they're all made by God in God's image. In addition to that, being made in God's image by God means that Matthew is not a container of chemicals. A container of chemicals. Do you understand why I'm using that odd phrase, a container of chemicals? Because you as a human being are, what percentage of water are you?
60%
water. And water is what?
H2O.
Thank you, George. Water is H2O. So right away, 60% of you is water. So suddenly, all you really are is not much different than this McDonald's cup that is a container for something inside here. And we could take this McDonald's cup, and we could take the water in there, we could take the tea, we could take the sugar, then we could take the plastic. These are all chemicals that form this foam container, and we could say there's not much difference between this cup and math. And you would say, absolutely not. Matt is a what?
Human being.
He's a human being. He is a human being. And all I would argue is he's a complex container. But he's still just a container of chemicals. And how would you argue without the Bible, how would you argue anything more than that? What's that?
A human has
intellect. Intellect, emotion, and will. Intellect, emotion, and will. You think. Intellect. You think. Can this container get its feelings hurt?
No.
No. Is this container, when I pitch it in the trash can, will it spend the rest of the day sulking because it's been pitched in the cast?
No.
Never. It's ridiculous to think in those terms. So there is an argument that says human beings are different from containers of iced tea. Everyone agree on that?
Yes.
But now, wait a minute. If that's all we do is we just argue based on your definition, which was intellect, what?
Emotion
and will. And if I do not believe that man is made in the image of God, if I say no, man is not made in the image of God, I'll argue, I'm a secular progressive liberal, and I'll say, yes, man is different from the dog. Here's my dog. Okay, there's a tail. Okay, here's his mouth, that's my dog. Two more legs. And I'll say, no, my dog does not have a will, an emotion, and intellect. Although I'm going to tell you, some of the dogs I've seen, they do get emotional, they seem to make decisions, and I think they think. Okay, so I'm going to argue that there's a lot of similarities. Have you seen dolphins?
Yes. Yes.
Dolphins are pretty amazing creatures who do a lot of things that look like human kind of stuff. So then how is man different without the Bible?
Yes.
Without the Bible. Because a secular progressive other would say there's no soul. There's no soul. That all this stuff, will, in motion, and intellect, comes from where? Where does the secular progressive say it comes from? Cassie?
I don't remember. Something inside the brain.
Yeah, a part of the brain. Within the brain. And a secular progressive says there's no soul. There's no soul. There's nothing inside you that distinguishes you from everyone else in the animal kingdom. You're just a container of chemicals that is highly evolved. Highly evolved. So, here's the question. If we set aside the Bible and say you're not made in the image of God, and you're not made in the image of God, and you're not made in the image of God, and you're not made in the image of God, and all we are is advanced products of evolution, then who survives according to evolution? The strong. Absolutely. The strongest. So, if I'm the strongest on a particular island, and I was not made by God, and people are not created in the image of God, then explain to me why it's wrong for me to rape females anytime I want.
It's not. You're the strongest, so you have the right to survive.
I'm the strongest. I have the right to survive. You're weak. I'm the strongest. We're not made in the image of God. And on my island, I'm the sovereign. So why don't I have the right on my island as the sovereign, because I'm the strongest, to rape females any time I want? Who establishes that as wrong? Go ahead, Cassie. God. There's no God. I'm a secular progressive.
The person himself. The weaker person that...
The weaker person feels it's wrong, so they have their opinion, but that's all it is their opinion.
The person in charge establishes you. What's wrong and what's wrong.
The person, the strongest, establishes what's right and wrong. And if I'm not created after God, if I'm not made in God's image, and if I don't have to live for His glory, then I live for my own what?
Glory.
Pleasure. My own pleasure, my own glory. And I decide on my island, every time I want to have someone, I just rape them. And? Is there an issue with that? Is there a problem with that? Why is it so silent?
It's not to you, but...
Not to me, okay, but to who?
To the person you
raped. Sure, to the person that's being raped. Absolutely, there's a problem from their perspective. But in the evolutionary model, Ken, in the evolutionary model, there is not a moral law. Where does moral law come from? Where does moral law come from if there is no God? Where does moral law come from?
The person.
The strongest. That's right. The sovereign establishes the law. The sovereign, not God's sovereign, the sovereign at that particular location. But wait a minute. The Christian says no, no. Every single human being is made in the image of God, and he or she is just as much an image bearer of God as you are. You're not made more in the image of God or less in the image of God. We're all equally made in the image of God. And so therefore, every human being has, and the key word is, dignity. 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 Therefore, it is wrong for me to invade your personal space and take away your dignity. Girls, would you say that being raped takes away your dignity?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Right. And it is wrong for me to take away your dignity, because you are just as much made in the image of God as I am made in the image of God. All right, let's move away from rape and let's go to slavery. Let's go to slavery. Does slavery take away somebody's dignity?
Yes.
Sure it is. No question about it. No single person has the right to own another person. Agreed or disagreed?
Agreed.
In the evolutionary model, how would you argue in the evolutionary model that there isn't, that there's a moral imperative not to do that? In the evolutionary model, how would you argue against it? Chantel, maybe I'm not explaining myself. What we're doing is we're comparing and contrasting a biblical model and a secular model, right? A secular model says there is no God. A secular model says you weren't made in the image of God. There is no moral law. You do not have a soul. You are a container of chemicals, highly advanced, but nevertheless still an animal. Everyone follow me? Now, if you don't get this, you're not going to make it in college. Because you will deal with this in college. You will. And your professor is going to chew you up and spit you out if you can't understand this argument. Number one, we've argued for why rape is wrong based on human beings being made in the image of God. Number two, we've argued that slavery is wrong Because all human beings are equally made in the image of God. No human being is made more in the image of God than any other human being. And because all are image bearers, no human being has the right to own another human being. Because all have a sense of dignity. And where do you derive that dignity from? From God. Because you're made in the image of God. Number three. Kidnapping. Think about how kidnapping takes away a person's dignity. Do you understand right now, and maybe you don't, so let me wake you up. Do you understand that right now, girls your age and younger are being kidnapped all over the world? And they are being enslaved into sex trafficking. Now that's hard for you to grasp, isn't it, because of the life you live. You can hardly grasp the idea that on a given day, someone would snatch you up, throw you in the back of a van, have you on a plane, and you would be flying out of country, and you would be taken to a city somewhere in the Philippines or somewhere in a third world country, and you would work a prostitution ring for the rest of your life until you were too old, too ugly, too tore up to be of any value to somebody, and then you would be discarded like I'll discard this cup at the end of the day. Does that scare you? That's shocking, isn't it? And the reason we do that as a society is because everyone doesn't agree that there is a God who created Adam and all males and females are made in the image of God, and therefore the dignity that males and females have is derived from God. And because everyone doesn't agree to that, or the second reason, listen to me very closely, the second reason is they do not fear God. God, in His mercy, doesn't strike them dead the moment they did such a thing. But if God was to execute judgment like that, there would be a great fear for doing such an heathen thing. But, if there is no God, and I am the strongest, and I can become stronger by imprisoning others, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it, Matt?
Nothing more.
Every person decides what they think is right. And there is no moral law that establishes a baseline or a benchmark. And so if you're not strong enough to fight back, it's just your fault. Because we are a product of evolution, and the model of evolution is that the fit survive, the strong survive. Why don't we have some animals instead of others? Well, they were not fit enough to survive, and the fittest survived. But we in the Christian faith argue that no, Miss Usher is made in the image of God, that God made her. And as an individual made by God, she has certain rights derived from God. And oh, by the way, let me just give you a momentary a history lesson here. That's what our Constitution argued for 200 some years ago. It took us 100 plus years to get it right on slavery. It took us a long time to get it right on slavery, but we finally got it right on slavery. That every single human being is made in the image of God, and as such, I do not have a right to be rude to you just for the sake of being rude to you. I use rude as a very simple thing as opposed to kidnapping, which would be an incredibly harsh thing. But it's still based on the same idea. That everything that you have comes ultimately from God. George is very athletic. That's a gift that God has given George. There are other students in the student body that are not as athletic as you, George. They can work just as hard as you on basketball and could never get as good a basketball player as you will with the same number of hours of effort. It would be very easy for you to take that gifting that God has given you and throw that in the face of other people who aren't as athletic as you are. What you would be forgetting at that point was fundamental truth number one, that you were made by God. Fundamental truth number two, that you were made to glorify God. You'd be living for yourself at that point. See, you think I'm talking about abstract ideas that don't have any relevancy. No, they do have great relevancy. They do have great relevancy. If you're in a dating relationship, you're in a dating relationship, and that guy is pushing you, girls, like guys have a tendency to push you towards, and you say no, no means no. And the moment in which he doesn't stop at no, he is no longer respecting your dignity. Ultimately, whether he realizes or not, he is now assaulting God. Why?
Because
why, Hannah? Because you're made in God's image. That's right. Because you're made in God's image. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Maybe you're not following me. What did you have for dinner last night, George?
Chicken.
You had chicken. What did you have for dinner last night?
Rice.
Just rice. Right? What did you have for dinner last night?
Didn't have dinner.
No dinner at all. You skipped it. What did you have for dinner last night?
Lasagna.
Lasagna. Did that lasagna have any kind of meat in it?
Yeah.
What did it have?
I think beef.
Beef. All right? We've got a cow and we've got a chicken. What did you have for dinner last night?
A sandwich.
A sandwich. With an M, right? All right? Okay. Did that sandwich have any kind of a meat on it?
Yes.
What was it?
Beef.
All right?
Fish.
Fish. So, in order for you to eat last night, a living creature had to die. 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 Just in this side of the room, we've killed four living things to eat. How about here?
Pork chops.
Pork chops. A pig now. We've got cows and chickens and pigs dying. And fish. What? Another pig.
Chicken.
Another chicken. Another chicken. Another chicken. Nice and loud. Another one. Another one. We are definitely chicken eaters in this room. Cassie.
Fish.
Fish. Two on fish. Another third on fish. Another chicken. All right. Did anyone wake up this morning feeling bad about the chicken that had to die in order for you to eat? Anyone wake up this morning feeling sad about the cow that had to die because you enjoyed that sandwich? Sandwich. With an M. How about the fish? Do you understand that there was a baby fish that had to give its life so that you could eat? All right. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you aware of a single animal that's made in the image of God?
No.
No. In fact, the Bible says that those animals were created for you. Look back at the Bible text. You're supposed to have what over those?
Dominion.
Dominion. You're supposed to have dominion over them. You're supposed to have dominion over them. That you have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over every earth, every creeping thing that creepeth. Dominion. God made them for you. The difference between my dog and Matt is that Matt was made in the image of God. My dog was not made in the image of God. So, we as Christians will rail against abortion, and we don't have a problem with the humane killing of chickens. Humane. Humane. I said humane intentionally, because we're to take care of that which God created us. So we need to make sure that it's done right. Should we be wasting? No. Would that be a sin?
Yes.
So you remember when Americans would go out into the plains and they would shoot buffalo just for the sake of shooting buffalo, and they would leave the carcasses on the dead to rot? Was that a sin because the buffalo was made in the image of God, or was that a sin because we weren't being good stewards of what God had given us? See the difference? If I killed an entire cow, and then I cut out one 12-ounce ribeye steak, ate that one ribeye steak, and then left the rest to waste, would that be sin?
Yes.
If I take that one cow, and I raise it properly, and I kill it humanely, and that I use every bit of it I can to provide for my family and other families, is that sin?
No.
And the reason is because God made that cow for humanity. If we don't have this fundamental difference between humans and animals, one made in the image of God and one made by God for humans, then please explain to me why it's not the same thing when I kidnap a human being and use it as a slave. No, it's not. A human is not made in the image of God. You are a product of an evolutionary process over trillions of years from a cosmic accident. See, we as a society do not understand the implications of embracing evolution the way we have. But the Bible says, like you said, Ashley, that all human beings are made in the image of God, and no human being has the right to kidnap or impregnate or rape or enslave or own another human being. That all human beings have dignity. And that goes for your dating relationships as well. Take out your book, please, and open up to the chapter. Human beings are made like God in five areas. He does not do a good job in this, so I'm going to help him. We are made by God in the same way as moral agents. Moral, that's M-O-R-A-L. That is to say, we know the difference between right and wrong. Moral. Anywhere, just write it down, somewhere in that chapter.
Can you say it again?
Yes, moral. I'm giving you five ways that we're made like God. Five ways. Number one, moral. Number two, spiritual. Number two, spiritual. There's a spiritual component to us. Dogs don't spend all night in prayer. There's a spiritual component to us. In your homework from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, God has bound up within you eternity. You know that there's something more to life than just this planet. You know there's got to be something more to that. That's number two. Number three is mental. Mental. You reason, you think, you're creative. You may think that your dog is creative, but the only reason you think your dog is creative is because the dog is working to get something. But a dog doesn't sit down and do a painting. You might think it's creative the way your dog works to get to a bone or works to get to a dish, but what's driving them to get there?
Their hunger.
That's right, their hunger. A human being doesn't sit down and draw an amazing portrait because they're hungry. Perhaps. Number four, humans are made like God because we enjoy relationships. Relational. R-E-L-A-T-I-O-N-A-L. Relational. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's a personal relationship inside the Trinity. Whether you realize it or not, we enjoy being with each other. We enjoy spending time together. We enjoy fellowshipping in. We enjoy that. And then number five has three components to it. We hear, see, and communicate. We see, hear, and communicate. We see, hear, and communicate. God sees and we see. God hears and we hear. God communicates and we communicate. So there may be more, but those are at least five areas where we are like God, made in the image of God. Look at verse number 27, please. The next thing that we learn is that our gender distinctions come from God. Our gender distinctions come from God. Our gender distinctions come from God. Our gender distinctions are not a product of an accident. Our gender distinctions are not chromosomes lining up. You were made a female by God. If you decide that I don't like being a female, I would rather be a male. And so you go into hormone therapy and multiple operations in order to become like a male. You cut your hair off and you take growth hormones and estrogen or whatever, and you do various things in order to be like a guy. What you're saying is, God, you did not
be right.
You didn't get it right, God. You didn't get it right. You didn't get it right, God. But wait a minute. If you are a container of chemicals, what difference does it make whether you're male or female? What difference does it make?
None.
Right. And if you don't like it, change it. And if you don't like that, change back. You know, bouncing back and forth. Yes, it is disgusting, but please be aware of the fact that we're dealing with this in our society. Please understand that right now in America, there are men who have decided that they would like to be a female and are petitioning the state to grant them rights as a female so that they can act like a female, be a female, go to the female locker room, be on the girls' team, and be now classified as a female. Be treated as a female. Qualify for scholarships as a female. Males. And, listen to me, students, we're not done. And because our federal government and our state government has abandoned a loyalty to God created you, what's wrong with that? How would you argue that it's wrong? How would you argue that I, as a container of chemicals, have decided that I no longer want to be gender one, I'm going to be gender two, and I want you to grant me the right to be gender two, and now I will begin to shower with the females at the lacrosse team. And how will you tell me that I'm wrong? How will you tell me that I'm wrong?
Because you're made in the image of God.
But I'm not made in the image of God. There is no God, and I'm a product of a cosmic explosion over a trillion-year evolutionary process. But the government is now becoming the one that gives me that right. They become the strong one. They will not tell me that it's wrong. And right now there are men that are being granted the right to be treated as females.
Like that UFC fighter?
There's an example.
Oh, she rocked that.
He rocked that.
Right. It's. Please understand, God made you as a male, and God made you as a female. Your distinction comes from God.